Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Amy Moore.
Yes, she is. I'm Amy Moore, and I'm playing...
Who do you regularly play?
I regularly play Thea Amastasia.
And also with us, Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. I saw a really weird commercial earlier for a show called Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, so we've got that to contend with. As alternative programming. And I normally play Flint Firebeard.
Does it play at the same time as we do? Like, are we competing?
I would assume it's
prime time? Always, though, honey. It's a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a real show, so...
Well, we've got that going for us. And also with us, Carla Johnson.
And I play Nulara Moonbrook, and I had a dream last night that was very real, and I only just now realized it clearly must have been a dream, that I was out at a restaurant and there was a child sitting beside me named Nulara. But that can't be
okay.
Real, right? I mean, it's kind of a real name, but it's not a totally wacky name or anything. It just...
Maybe there are people who are now naming their children Flint, Thea, Nulara because of the podcast.
Oh, that certainly can't
That's
be
terrifying.
Oh, I mean, I certainly would just not... enjoy that at all for that child.
No, I would just give them a good middle name.
I could actually see any of our names being names.
Well, Thea is a name.
The kid's got.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Thea is. But even Flint.
Flint, like, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
I once taught a kid named Sunshine and also one named Boogie.
So Flint, Thea, and Nulara are not bad names.
No, there are no bad
no,
names.
See?
Maybe that's what I'm saying.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Weird day, super weird day, but good.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're all here and ready to play the game because we're doing something different.
We're so ready.
But what isn't different is when we dedicate an episode to a patron.
That's true. We do that all the time.
Like,
who is it?
When
like
we remember.
Today. Yeah, I mean, there was that incident.
We were all drunk.
It was just a blip. We mostly remember.
We were having a tough time. Anyways, today's patron, we're dedicating to one Jacob Madden.
Jacob Unabom.
Hey, thanks, Jacob.
So thanks, awesome. Jacob.
And if you want to check Patreon out, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can come join the community over there, but we also have other communities like Discord, where there are exclusive Patreon channels. And our Facebook group, the Reckless Play Guild, where we joined up with the End of Time and Other Bothers, the Lucky Die, and Dark Dice. You can come join us over there. They got great, great people all over the place. You can come hang out and chat with.
Hey, remember when Russ used to tell all this stuff, but then he used to like pop quiz us and he'd be like, and you can also find us on Tom.
The worst.
But then it never worked out. So
No, but then we got really good at it, I think. We were like so ready with like the websites and stuff that it wasn't fun for him anymore and he stopped doing it.
Yeah. It just became quicker just for me to do it.
You know, like us stumbling through it. www.patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Cast. Damn it. See? Yeah.
Well, and also that's the whole like mantra for our whole podcast is it's just easier for us.
You know what? D&D. It's just easier if the DM does it all.
Yeah.
Make that a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yep. And we have t-shirts too. We won't get into that now. We'll wait for the interlude for that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should say, fuck it, let's play D&D, because we're doing things a little different today.
Fuck it, let's do it different.
So, fuck it, let's do it different. And we've been doing things differently for the last, it seems like, a couple months.
Have we said that every episode?
So
it's going to be a little different today, guys.
I guess in that respect, we're doing things normally for 2019. 2019, doing things different. Today, we're looking to the future of Dungeons & Dragons is what we're doing. And Flint, Thea, and New Lara, they've got a big battle coming up. Now, we don't know how that battle's going to turn out. We're all hoping for the best.
But it is the inevitable rise of TMS, so.
Exactly.
And I mean, we've pissed Russ off a lot.
We are exceptionally irritating people, so.
It's still all up to the dice rolls, and we still plan on going ahead with Flint, Thea, and New Lara. However, we would like to explore the world around at a lower level. Two double meaning there. But so we're starting with some new characters today. And these characters, we'll do a couple episodes here, but they won't be back until after that battle. And they're going to start at level one. So that's something that you as Dungeons & Dragons listeners haven't experienced with us, because we only started Flint, Thea, and New Lara at level ones around the table before we started recording. So they started at, like, I can't even remember, six or seven. It was somewhere in there. So we get to go through that process together. And then it gets us to give a chance to look at what Flint, Thea, and New Lara haven't really been able to take a look at, which is like how the world is changing for the regular people, because they've been floating above in their airships, kind of just flying over all the cities that are on fire.
It's true. At one point, we kind of just stopped going to different troubled cities, right? Like we were in the forest, we were helping elves, we were in Luskin, and then...
Yeah. It just became a little too side questy, right? Like, because we always were like, oh, we will help these people. And then Russ is like,
and I'm sure Russ is like,
I've been trying to rise TMF for 2 years. What
the Cult of the Dragon is stalling now at this point, saying, oh, where are the heroes? They're just like
doing their knitting that they haven't cut off on yet.
But yeah, so we want to do that and hopefully introduce some new characters who you will love. And then we don't have a schedule set up for this, but we'll be recording, I don't know, we'll say 50-50 for now and see how it kind of evolves after that. If we like the characters, then we'll do that. If not, then maybe we'll do something different. We don't know. What I'm saying is we don't know how it's going to look, but we're introducing these characters. And doing some new things. So who are these characters, you might ask?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, so that whole lead up.
Well, end of episode. Well,
I have something to confess. Shoot. I haven't done my character.
Was I supposed to have a new character? Just kidding, Russ. Stop having a heart attack slash plotting our murders. We're ready.
Too late. They're level ones. They're easy to kill.
God, they're so easy to kill.
So squishy.
Oh, so soft and squishy. Yeah.
That's something, too, that Tom, Carla, and Amy haven't really had to deal with in a while, because Flint, Thea, and New Lara are like fucking tanks.
You know what? I think after this episode, we are really going to go back to Flint, Thea, and New Lara with like renewed awe and wonder at how like fucking awesome they are. Because you know what? When you are used to awesomeness, you become complacent. It doesn't wow you as much. You know, the shiny armor has been dulled. But I think we're going to go back and go like, oh, it's so nice not to have to roll death throws every fucking...
Yeah, and to have like plus whatever attack bonuses.
I think it's going to make me more reckless with New Lara, because I'll be like, oh my god, I have so many hit points. Let's fight this fucking
so
dragon.
Tough.
I'm ready.
Do it.
Let's climb right on. Because
I am always so like,
inside.
Oh no, I'm going to die.
Good idea. Wait, which head?
Exactly. Mm. You don't know which one's the key.
Is one a key?
No, he's just fucking with us. Or is he? This is the problem with Russ.
I never know. Our marriage is like one of those, like, it's like a game of Clue.
What?
It was Russ in the kitchen with the sandwich?
Usually, yes.
Usually. I do like
but
a good sandwich.
No, nailed it. Got in one. For Addison, let's face it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Tom, who is your character?
My character is a fellow by the name of Murin Aurel Odania Torsarin, but you can call him Moot. He's the youngest of a whole bunch of kids. He's a half orc. And since he was the youngest of a bunch of kids, his opinion often didn't matter, and hence it was a moot point most of the time. So the nickname kind of stuck for him. He is a wild magic sorcerer. So half orc sorcerer.
Orcserer?
Bit of a weird combo, but I'm on board with it.
We can do this.
Orcserer?
Sorcerer?
Yeah. Sorcerer orc?
Sorcerer orc. Yep. Got in one.
Yeah, that was one.
That was one, right?
Yep.
One.
It was
one
just one really long
effort.
One.
And Carla, who is your character?
My character also goes by a nickname, as is the way of her people. Her name is Nerixis Acra. So Nerixis is her clan, but everybody calls her Glim. So I am a dragonborn paladin, and she goes by Glim because her scales are particularly shimmering and beautiful, like metallic brass, rose gold, a little bit of platinum. So she thinks, and everyone from her clan thinks she's something pretty darn special. So Glim, when she was a kid, everyone called her Glimmer. So Glim.
Oh,
I like it.
You're so fancy. Yes. Imagine you with a unicorn horn, and I know that's not how. I know that's not what dragonborns
Maybe.
Look like.
Dragonborns can wear hats.
That's true.
Yeah, they can.
Really fun hats, too.
Really fun unicorn horn style hats.
And Amy.
My character's name is Sullivan Slight. He is a Lightfoot halfling rogue, and he was, he actually has a little bit of a sad backstory. The Cult of the Dragon decimated his village when he was like 9 or 10, and he had what Russ called like a Thanos moment, where he was found huddling under a pile of like wreckage, essentially wood from homes. He was found by one of the head cultists and was essentially taken in. And from a very young age, he had been indoctrinated into the Cult of the Dragon, doing small jobs where they needed somebody small, like a halfling, and slight and sneaky.
So something that we're going to do with these characters that we haven't really been doing with Flinthy and Ulara, because the focus has been more on this, well, I mean, it's kind of both. The focus has been more on their goal and how we've got to the goal and how we're getting to the goal. Whereas these characters, I think what we're going to do is, when you level up and when you go through a level, things happen to each character. You get new abilities, you get new things that happen.
Your body starts to change.
Your body starts to change.
You grow hair
ways.
In different places.
In a lot of places.
You start to
sometimes get lower. Yeah. But what we're going to do is we're going to incorporate those a little bit more thoroughly into the story. So if you get an ability, it's about how you learn that ability or how you obtain that ability. So we have to set out kind of story guidelines as to how these things all come about. So they don't just happen. You don't just wake up the next day and they're there. You move up a level, and then we have to figure out a way to get your ability.
So you don't just wake up and all of a sudden you can like throw daggers with like blinding accuracy, and you just look at your friends and go,
exactly.
But the thing is, your friends don't even react like the way we've been doing it. It's just like,
oh, well, look at you go.
Like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Like that scene in every superhero movie where they like test out their newfound abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or The Matrix, where he wakes up and he knows kung fu.
So that's what we're going to do. Going to be more, a little bit more real world for these characters, I think. And then we're going to try that form of storytelling out. And it's also going to be probably a little more like we did, I guess, for you guys and for Patreon, for like we did with Fate Core. Where it's a little bit more open world and a little more you guys get to decide which string you're going to follow. right? So you can...
Which totally goes great for us.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. I mean...
Sometimes it, will it does. Be, I it, feel like we won Fate Core.
Yeah, sure.
It was very fun collaborative storytelling.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to check out Fate Core, go check out Patreon. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. But what I'm saying is, so I'll set up, like, you know, your bulletin board of things, and you guys get to pick, and then... Based on what you pick, that's where that story goes until you figure out where to go next. So it will be still controlled by the overarching god that is the DM.
But I was going to say, Russ is going to say himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
The molder of the solid. World. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'm all bored with it, Russ. Over there.
Don't let Amy board. DM shame you.
Yeah, so, but you guys will have, it won't be as railroaded as a module can sometimes feel, is what I'm trying to get at, I think. That's the characters, and that's what we're doing. Sullivan Slight. We find you in Luskin.
So, Selly is from a small village outside of Athkatla, and a group of, when he was 10 years old, a group of the Cult of the Dragon came and decimated his entire village, murdered his family in front of him. He was... huddling in a pile, probably a pile of ruins, could potentially have been a wood pile. He doesn't really remember much from that time, but he was found cowering in the ruins by the head cultist, Akthar Tarvan. And he was taken by Athkar and indoctrinated into the Cult of the Dragons, and he was groomed to do their spy work. Being a halfling, mm-hmm. he was really good at fitting into tight spaces, going places unnoticed. And for years, he was loyal and did recon for the cult. And he would bring back tales of, and let me, like, if this mm-hmm. is, like, right in timeline-wise, at this point, after, you know, he's been with them for 7 years or so, 7 or 8 years, bringing back tales of the decimators of dragons who are fighting back. Akthar sent Selly to Luskin with a group to learn higher skills, as he put it. Selly wasn't sure what that was meaning, but he went anyway because he saw what happened to people who said no to Akthar, and so went along without too much of a stink.
So you're with a small group of cultists, and you're pretty, you're keeping, like you said, pretty under the radar. You're wearing more or less common or mercenary clothes. Yeah. Luskin is a big travel city, so you fit in. There's no need to really hide. There's a lot of
It's a whole hiding in plain sight thing.
Unsavory fellows who you're with. One of them's name is Benty and Barty. They're brothers. You're kind of going merchant to merchant, just kind of seeing what they have available. Benty, he comes up to you. He's like, all right, kid, we got the job. So you're ready to go?
What's the job?
Look, Akthar said you wasn't going to ask no questions.
Yeah, he said you was pretty easy to just come along.
Is that all I'm doing, is coming along?
Well, I mean, you told us to teach you the ropes, yeah?
What kind of ropes are we talking about?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah, what he said.
Okay.
Meet us at the room tonight, and then we'll head out and go get on our way, okay? We'll be there by morning.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, okay.
They wander off, blending into the crowd. What do you do before you have to go to the room?
I probably go to like a local pub or a bar, somewhere where there's music playing, and I sit in the back. I don't order anything, but I love, Sully, like, loves listening to the music, so anytime he can. Anytime he's on a mission, he takes a small amount of time out of his schedule and will find where Bart is playing and get his news, essentially, because he doesn't like to talk to people. So,
yeah, you head to the Cutlass, which is one of the larger, more well-known taverns in town. You sit down in the back and there's a bard playing and you order a drink or whatever you order.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope. Okay.
You blend in quite nicely. Nobody really pays too much attention to you. You see a lot of people coming and going and there's a trio that kind of catches your eye. There's a dwarf and an elf and a human, and they walk up to the bar and you see them kind of stumbling about, not knowing what they're doing there either. But otherwise, it goes by rather uneventful. And it's about time that you should be going to meet Benty and Barty.
I pass by where the bard had out his hat, and I put a silver coin down, and I continue out and to the room, reluctantly, like almost slowly.
You're walking your way to the room where you're staying, and make a perception check.
Oh my. Ooh, 16 plus perception, 17.
You hear a wagon coming up behind you.
Squeaky wheels.
Yeah, very squeaky wheels. You hear the familiar voice of Benty yell, "God damn it, Barty, you're supposed to get something sneakier than this."
"Sorry, boss, it's all they had."
He hops down and he's like, "Okay, I was gonna like scoop you up and be like, huh, you were kidnapped and teach you a lesson about paying attention, but you could hear us coming from down the block, so..."
Is this what I'm here to learn about?
No, just get in the wagon. We're going to be going on the road here.
As I go around to the back of the wagon, I give the wheel a swift kick in the hub, and it doesn't squeak anymore.
"See, Barty, that's all you had to do."
"Sorry, boss."
So you hop in.
Yep.
And they set off. And they don't outwardly tell you where you're going. You just begin to travel out of Luskin and on your way.
Can I tell if we're going north or south? Am I good at that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you can make a direction roll, nature or survival.
At 15.
Yeah, you can tell you're heading in a westerly direction. You're on the road for at least 2 or 3 days.
Oh my god.
What do you guys...
Are we there yet?
"You've been asking that the whole time. Look, we get there when we get there. We're going to meet up with some other folks and then we're going to help out the boss, you know?"
"Can you at least tell me what city we're going to?"
They kind of look at each other and it's like, "No."
"Why? We're going to get there and you're going to be like, ah, we're in..."
"Well, no, it's going to be a surprise
to the people in the city."
"And I will somehow ruin that surprise by having that information."
"Gosh, you talk back a lot. God, boss said you were pretty easygoing."
"Boss said you guys knew what you were doing."
"Okay, we're going to the city of Kars, okay?"
"Was that so hard?"
"Yeah, well, we were... We try to keep the mirror of illusion and wonder in your tiny brain."
"Axar's
going to
be so pissed when he finds out you told me."
"Oh, shit. God damn it. We're in trouble now."
Another day goes by, and you get to the high forest, and you are a distance away from the city of Kars, and you're pulling up to an area where there is a large gathering of other cult members.
So is this like some sort of birthday party?
Yeah, you could say that because we're going to get all the presents and it's going to be really, really nice.
Is it a raid?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a raid. Look, you stick with us, you'll be okay, kid. Don't worry about it.
How many villages have you guys raided?
Oh, I can't even count them on one hand. Look, we're going in at nighttime, and it's gonna be just fine, all right? You just stick with us. You learn the ropes.
What are these ropes that you keep talking about?
Look, what have you been doing for the boss?
I've been going to different cities, seeing who's meeting up together,
mm-hmm.
what kind of people are meeting in what groups, what they're talking about, and then coming back and giving him that information.
Yeah, well, now we're in more of a, less of an information gathering situation, more of a, an item and house clearing situation. Got it? Good. Night comes and they signal to you that you're ready to go. The entire cult begins moving towards the city. It's dark. The canopy of the forest covers it quite well. It's not a lot of light. You see some light within houses as you get closer to this city. The cult has this place surrounded. They've got any number of humans and drakes and wormlings all waiting to move. They get their signal and everybody begins rushing into the city. They begin kicking in doors, setting fires. You hear people screaming as you're chasing behind Benty and Barty. What is Sully doing or feeling at this moment?
Sully's never really been in this kind of situation. He's barely ever seen a battle, let alone been involved with one. His heart is racing. He's battling his feelings between following orders and the fear that he's feeling that's coming up, and he's not quite sure where it's coming from, but it's absolutely having to do with memories of this exact thing happening to his village when he was a child.
As you see those memories flash in your mind's eye, Benty and Barty get to a door and they try to open it and it's locked. They kick it in and there's a scream from inside and a man rushes forward with a blade. He's tripped out the door and stabbed right in front of you at your feet by Barty. Benty then moves into the house and you hear more screaming. Barty pushes you into the house along with them. You see a woman and a child huddled in a corner, clutching various what could be construed as family heirlooms. And they strike them down. Cold blood. They don't strike out. They begin gathering things into sacks as the woman and the child and the man out in the street, the life drips away from them. They fill up their sacks and say, "You're on the next one there, kid."
What?
And they begin moving towards the next house.
I think I remain frozen in this living space, just looking at the mother and child, just completely shocked and horrified.
Come on, let's go.
I don't think this is for me.
What do you mean this isn't for you?
Well, I'm not a fighter, and this is a lot of fighting.
Look, Barty, just pick him up and let's get going, okay?
Barty begins to move towards you.
I back up.
He rushes at you to try and grab you.
I try to dodge.
Can I dodge? Dexterity saving throw.
14.
You kind of stumble backwards, and he reaches for you, and he trips over a floorboard and falls down, and you manage to sneak to the side. The door is open in front of you.
I rush at the door.
You see Benty standing out in the street and saying, okay, let's get... Hey, where's Barty?
He'll be right there. And I rush in behind the house, so I make a hard right and rush in between the houses.
You hear footsteps up into the building, and then he looks and sees and says, kid, I'm coming. Get back here. And then you hear footsteps in behind you. There's forest in front of you.
I run into the forest.
You hear footsteps keeping pace with you almost, and then you hear,
ah, God, Barty's in the tree. I don't know if we're going to get him back.
I'll just say maybe he got shot with an arrow.
Yeah, that'll go over well. All right, boss isn't going to be too happy about that.
You hear the footsteps stop and start to walk back towards. You hear screams and then an explosion. There's a large ball of fire that goes up in the city.
I don't look back. I keep running.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country. Like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Where do we find Mirian, Oral, Ordania, Torsaren, or Moot?
Mirin. First off, if you're going Marin, for the first sorry. Statement, that's all right.
Marion.
I said Marion. That's too wise.
Mid-Marion.
Mid-Marion. So, I mean, old school wise, he grows up in the high forest in a small forest village east of Kars.
And how old is Moot at this point?
In his backstory where his event happens, he's probably about 16 or 17.
So the city you live in, largely humans and half-orcs and that sort of type, or just or half-orcs?
Yeah, the village that they're in is a blended village of a lot of humans and orcs and half-orcs. It's a place where they all kind of gathered together to live peacefully.
Moot's family, how are they ingrained in the village?
Pretty well. I mean, his folks are around. His dad's name is Orel, and his mom's name is Odania, which are his two middle names, the two O's in his names. Because he has so many brothers and sisters that they ran out of middle names by the time they got to him, so they just named him after themselves.
It's a bright, sunny day. And we find Moot hanging out with some friends. Who's he hanging out with?
Ooh, good question. Probably some other half-orc kids. We'll go with his friends, Davy and Raquel.
You're hanging around with Davy and Raquel, and you guys are talking, you know, you're doing what, you know, young half-orcs do. And you're just kind of having a conversation about some things that you heard the night prior. You heard primarily a loud explosion that ran through the forest.
Did you guys hear that last night?
Yeah, the rumbly thing. Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. My mom said it was an explosion.
Wow. Who'd be exploding things here?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty quiet place, really.
Yeah, no, it's probably like, I don't know, like people trying to mine trees.
People don't mine trees, Davey. What are you talking
about?
What
do you mean people don't mine trees?
Well, they cut them down. They don't mine them.
But my dad said that that's how they make wood.
I mean, I don't really know about that, Davey, but I still don't think you mind trees.
Yeah, you're kind of a fucking idiot, Davey. Oh, jeez. Why do we keep him around?
He's fun, so that's something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fun, right. I think that's good. I don't know. Explosion, did you hear anything else about what it might have been?
I don't know. My parents seem pretty concerned about it, but they didn't really say too much else in front of me, so it's hard to say.
My folks are saying there's some weird stuff happening, like, outside of the forest, like big cults or something like that. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, shit. No, that doesn't sound good, though.
No. I don't know. They seem pretty cagey about it. Like, they didn't want to tell us. Like maybe they were trying to hide something, but it doesn't seem very good if there's, like, people mining for wood over there. I mean, baby.
Yeah, it's... hopefully they leave the forest alone. I mean, that's our home.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm saying. Oh, well. Hey, maybe we go check and see with old man what's-his-nuts over there. You know.
Old man Barkley?
Yeah, old man Barkley. See if he knows anything.
Yeah, I guess we could go check with him. Let's head over there.
Old man Barkley doesn't know anything. He'd probably tell us they can't mine wood.
I mean, we've been telling you we can't mine wood.
Okay, well, if he tells me, then I'll believe it.
Okay, Davey.
You guys carry on to Old Man Barkley's, which is just a rickety old shack at the edge of town. You see him sitting out in his front yard, just kind of enjoying a cup of moonshine.
hey, Barkley, do you know anything about what happened last night? We heard a big rumble, and my mom said it was an explosion.
Moot, you gotta say hello first. That's how you start conversations.
Sorry. Hey, Barkley.
Hey, Moot. Davey. Raquel. Sorry. Been drinking my cup.
You've been hitting the shine today?
Well, you know, when they tell you to stay at the edge of town, what else are you going to do? Anyways, what was your question?
What happened last night? There was something about an explosion nearby. Do you have any idea what's going on?
I did hear it. It did wake me up from my stupor. My dream. You know, it's probably nothing to worry about. You know, they've been like mining. Yeah, wood, right? No.
Davey, they don't mine wood.
They don't. I've been telling you for weeks, Davey. Oh, right. Anyway, there's some new mining things going up not too far from here. It's probably just that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that takes a load off. Thanks, Barkley.
What do you know about the, hold on. What do you know about the cult situation things happening?
I just kind of heard about this from Raquel. I don't really know too much.
Oh, well, there's some folks passing through here that said, there's some cult things happening where there's this people trying to bring like dragons back or something.
Oh, dragons are cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dragons are sweet, dude. Sweet. But I think what they're doing is, you know, not the most good things.
Oh.
That's what they say anyways. It was just one group. I mean, they were probably just trying to swindle me from a shine.
Yeah, well, yeah, you gotta watch out for that, hey?
Right. So what are you kids up to today?
I mean, I don't know. We were just kind of hanging out, you know, walking around in the forest.
You should get a job.
I mean, I don't know. Like, my dad's always looking for help at the mill, but, you know, he says I'm kind of too young still.
How old are you?
About to turn 17.
Oh, when I was 17, I was working.
I really thought there was going to be more to that.
Nope, no more. I was working. I was earning a living. I had 16 kids of my own, probably.
Wow, that's a lot of kids for that young in life.
Well, that's what they called me. The man with too many kids for his age. Anyway, I'll probably let you kids get back to doing what you're doing, kid things.
I guess we should head back. See ya, Barkley.
Yeah. Come back anytime. I'll tell you stories.
I mean, we probably won't.
You head back to town and you spend the rest of the day, you know, doing what kids do. Nighttime comes. Your friends all kind of rush back to their houses. And what does Moot do?
Heads home for dinner as well. He usually helps out, you know, setting the table, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you get back home just as your mother is kind of finishing up the meal. You smell it as you walk through. It's one of your favorites, too. What do you smell?
Yeah, obviously smelling cutlets of some sort. Maybe pork cutlets.
You walk through the door and you smell those delicious pork cutlets. You hear your mom call, "Somebody come set the table."
Nah, I'm on it.
Oh, good. What you been up to today?
We were out in the forest, and then we ran across Barkley, and he was...
I told you not to go by old Barkley's.
I know, but he's harmless.
Harmless? The man had 16 kids by the time he was 17.
Yeah, he was telling us about that. What a weird choice.
Right? What were you going out there for?
Well, we were talking about that explosion last night, and then... Raquel mentioned something about a cult or something, and then Barkley was talking about a cult. I don't know, it was all really weird. Do you know anything about this cult?
Cult? I heard something, but it didn't sound like anything too serious, you know? Just, you know what cults is as cults does.
I mean, I don't, but okay.
I mean, they were probably just mining trees.
I really don't think that's a thing. Why does everybody keep saying that?
I hear it's a new way to do it. Anyways, it's going to put the mills out of the business. Your father's not going to be too happy about it, but we'll just keep that between you and me, okay?
Okay.
Speaking of which, your father walks through the door and he sees you setting the table and says, "Oh, good job. You have a good day."
Yeah, it was pretty good. How was the mill?
When are you going to come work with me?
I mean, you've been telling me I'm too young, so I've been waiting for you to say this exact thing to me.
Well, today's the day, boy. Okay, maybe not today, because it's the end of the day and the mill's actually closed. But tomorrow's the day, boy.
Awesome, I can't wait.
Can't believe I didn't say this sooner. That means I get to work less while you do more work. Because I'm training you.
Yeah, that's usually how training works.
Yeah.
It's not twice as much work for the person training the new person at all.
That's what I'm hoping for. Easy couple of weeks for me. Your brothers and sisters, those that are around, they come in and everybody sits down to a big meal. You go through the evening and it's about time for bed. Everybody goes and climbs in and your dad yells out to you. He's like, get some good rest tonight. Tomorrow, get some good rest tonight. That's the sentence I was looking for.
Were you into The Shine with Barkley earlier?
No, don't go see Barkley. He's not good news. Anyways, what I'm saying is, big day at work tomorrow.
Okay, great. I'll go hop into bed.
You drift off to sleep, and you're not sure how much time passes, but it's a late sunset, and it's pitch black when you wake up. You wake up to the sound of screams coming from the streets.
I hop out of bed and run into my parents' room. I say, what's happening?
Your mother and some of your brothers and sisters, they're in the room, and your father is not in there. Your mother says, he's out by, he went to go see what's going on. Told us to stay here.
Stay here? We gotta go help him.
You and your two brothers are okay. Let's go see what we can help them with. You head out and the front door is open and you see people running and screaming and there's lanterns, and you look across and down the streets and you see someone throw one into what you know as Raquel's house. The house goes up quickly in flames, and you hear screaming from inside the house, and you see a couple people dressed in black robes and cloaks, and they are running around, some of them carrying bags, some of them carrying weapons. What do you do?
I yell into my mom. I say, like, they're burning people's houses. We have to get out of here.
She yells back and begins bringing out your sisters, who are in there as well, and kind of looks out the window, and two of these people come and stand in front of you and your brothers. And they say, look, if you don't put up a fight, we're not gonna hurt ya.
Yeah, what he said.
Please don't hurt us. Why are you burning people's houses?
You kind of hear from behind you, three more people begin to move into your house.
What? There's nothing in there. Just, what's happening?
Just don't worry about it, okay? There's things above you, kid, that you're not ready to understand yet. Now give us everything you've got in the house and nobody else gets hurt.
You hear screams from inside your house.
I'm going to bolt for the house.
Dexterity check.
Okay. That's a 13.
You manage to outrun one of the people behind you. And you get in and you see one of the men with his arm raised towards your mother and your sisters with a sword in hand.
I kind of shoot like the arm out like, no! But while I'm doing this, a like beam of white light like streaks out of my hand and towards the man with his arm raised.
The temperature of the room drops several degrees, and this white light hits this man, and he seems frozen in the place where he was.
Your mother and your sisters scream even louder as they see what you have done.
And I kind of look down at my hand like, what the fuck just happened?
They run back into the house and into their room. And two men come behind you and move to grab you. And the same thing happens. This blue-white light emanates from your hand, from your bodies, and it freezes these people in place. And a rift seems to open up in front of you. And you see a deep purple-black energy. And you feel it begin to course through you, something you've never experienced before. And the men frozen in place shatter to the ground.
And I'm just kind of staring at both my hands, like, dumbfounded.
Your brothers are standing watching from behind you and say, What happened?
I don't know. I he's just speechless.
You hear an explosion out in the town. And you look out the window and you see a lot of these men that you didn't recognize dressed in the dark robes. They run away. They have bags full over their shoulders. Screaming is still happening. But they look like they are fleeing the town. You go out into the street, and there are many more houses on fire.
Is there any sort of, like, water stations or anything that I can, like, try to put these fires out?
Yep, there's a well in town center. You see people running back and forth as quickly as they can, to little to no avail. The city itself is, by morning, half destroyed. And news spreads quickly about what happened with Moot. Despite the fact that you did what is deemed as totally good, because you saved your family, people begin to look warily upon you.
That's shitty, but kind of fair.
Magic and those types of things is more or less frowned upon. And you're sitting at the table the next day, and your dad sits down with you. He was out fighting the fires. And he sits down with you and says, Well, boy, I don't think we're going to be going into work today. Not just because the place is burned down, but because we've been asked to leave.
All of us?
Well, most specifically, you, but I mean, we can't leave you.
But, I mean, everyone's life is here. You can't leave. I mean, the town needs to be rebuilt, and people need homes, and there's so much to do here.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But what are we to do? Let our shining star, our lovely Moot, go out on the world on his own?
I mean, I can't ask everybody to come with me. That's not fair either. I mean, I know the villagers are wary and they're worried. I'm worried too, because I don't know what's happening. But what if I left for a while and went to go find some sort of teacher who could help me. Harness whatever this is that I've got going on, and then I can come back.
teachers. Where are you going to find a teacher?
Well, I mean,
who even teaches these things?
I don't know, but there's got to be somebody in like Neverwinter. There's all sorts of magicians and things.
Sure. Yeah. Neverwinter. All right. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. How about we think the day on it and then we'll decide whether your magician teachers are real and then or if we're going to go be realistic about life and go find somewhere else to live and then just maybe be just, I don't know, put gloves on you so you don't freeze anybody.
I guess that's an option, but this is, I'm worried. What if this happens again? And it's someone that's not trying to kill us that I hurt. What, like, I don't know what to do here.
Let's just think on it. They've given us a day. We can sort it out. We'll sleep on it. Figure out what we're going to do in the morning.
Okay.
You go through the day. I don't know how much going out you do.
Not a lot. Doesn't seem like everyone's too fucking happy to see me.
But night comes, everybody kind of nestles in and goes to sleep. You're lying awake.
I pack a few belongings in like a knapsack sort of thing. Write out a brief note that says, you know, like, I'll come back when I can. Gone to get some answers. You know, all the best sort of thing. And I sneak off into the night.
Hello there, lost and lonesome Dungeoneer. Wait, you're not lonesome. You're here with us. It's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Thanks for joining us for episode 74 of Dungeons & Dragons, The Call to Adventure. A beginning of sorts for these new characters. And we'll be getting to Carla and Glim's story in just a moment here. But first, I'd just like to remind you of a couple places that you can join us. First is on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. For those that don't know, Patreon is a platform where people join creators, pledging a monthly amount to those creators, and in turn building a community full of amazing people who enjoy, celebrate, and love the work that they do. In return for joining those communities, our community, there are many different levels of support and many different rewards and bonuses for being with us. This includes monthly bonus episodes, naming NPCs, monthly goog hangs, and special swag sent straight to your door, plus a whole lot more. Big thanks to all of our patrons who came out to the goog hang just last night. We had a blast just catching up on the last month. The second place that you can join us is the Reckless Play Guild Facebook group, where you can join all of us, but also three other amazing podcasts, The End of Time and Other Bothers, The Lucky Die, and Dark Dice. We all get together, talk D&D, plan campaigns, talk characters and upcoming releases, and also, not to bury the lead here, but the GMs of all of our podcasts get together and release a video answering your questions. So if you have a conundrum that we might be able to help with, it's a great place to start and hopefully get answers. Sometimes we fumble through it, but most of the time we try really hard. We're also getting to know the DMs and soon the players of the individual podcasts better by hosting interviews with each person to find out what exactly makes your favorite podcasters tick. Links are in the description, and we hope to see you in either of those places. A final thanks to Sirenscape for some of the amazing atmosphere. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com to bring your games to life. The next episode will be out Wednesday, February 13th, when Flint, Thea, and Nulara are back in the regular story, and they are getting on the trail to stopping the Cult of the Dragon. No more pit stops. We're heading there. Starting next week. But now, let's get back and join Carla and I and find out where Glim's story begins. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. So, Norixius Acra, or Glim, yes. Where is she from?
Her clan lives in the Misty Forest, on the edge of the Misty Forest.
And she lives with a large clan or a small clan of dragonborn there.
I think she lives with, gosh, let's say, I mean, quite a small clan. I think there are sort of several clan enclaves in the same area that sort of all, like, mm-hmm. you know, trade together and intermarry and all of that. She's not, you know, totally isolated growing up like my girl New Lara was. But her clan itself is probably like 60 people. And that's all basically like her family, right? Her family and kind of extended family.
Dealings with outside, like, you live in pretty much like a community solely based on Dragonborn.
Yes.
Probably a little bit more maybe not sheltered, but there's probably only like passer-throughs of other races.
Yeah, definitely. So that is predominantly like the people she has been around, the people she has grown up with, you know, like bards come through every once in a while. So that's how they, of course, like get their news. And so she sees different races that way. And they're always kind of, you know, like adventurers and whatnot that kind of roll through. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, she's grown up with Dragonborns.
Your family, they send you off somewhere. Not because of it, for any reason, just to kind of go get resources. But you say perhaps Glim is a good hunter-gatherer, or perhaps she might actually be not so much.
Not so much. I think that Glim, she has, thus far in her life, she's only 25, has sort of been like almost literally the golden child. Like, she has been Glimmer.
She can buy on her looks a lot.
Not necessarily her looks, but because she and her clan and the surrounding enclaves, like, all sort of believe that she is destined for something great and have since she was very small. Not necessarily something great, but they believe she is, you know, a million generations later, a descendant of Bahamut. So she is, like, kind of spoiled. She is, like, a good person, but, hasn't faced a lot of struggle in her life, let's say.
Let's take that a different way, then. There's a bard that's come through, an orc, long tusks. And he comes through and he's telling tales of battles going on in Faerun. You watch his songs and you listen to his stories. And you come to learn through them that there is perhaps something that you might have been shielded from or just not told by some of your elders, is that there is a cult of the dragon. And they are trying to rise Tiamat, who is the polar opposite to Bahamut. The bard is singing in the center of your village. Everybody's kind of crowded around him, listening to these stories. Some look a little more shocked than others. Others look like this is, you know, they might have heard of these tales. But you come in and you catch the majority of one of these last songs, singing tales of what he calls the Decimator of Dragons. And as he wraps up, everybody kind of claps and gives him some change and food and begins going about their day. So he's tidying up his stuff up at the front. What does Glim do?
Well, I'm going to go talk to him. Excuse me, sir?
Yeah, yes.
What do you... You so surely... Please don't take this the wrong way, but surely you must be exaggerating a little bit about the state of the world. I mean, Tiamat couldn't be rising. That's crazy.
Oh, no, my dear. Yes, the world beyond your village here is, how do I say, going to the shit.
Oh, but I mean, surely the followers of Bahamut are fighting against, I mean, our god is so kind and powerful and wise and strong. I mean, there's, so how, can you, what's, I guess I'm just confused.
I understand that, your confusion, my dear. You live in a very central, how do I put this? So you are a shiny dragon.
Mm-hmm.
There's the not shiny dragons, and then there's the shiny dragons. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay.
Yeah,
The not shiny dragons, they want to take over the world. And, the shiny dragons are there, I think. They're around, and I think they try to stop. I don't know.
What about just the normal people? How can there be so many followers of Tiamat that they can overwhelm all the other people in the world?
They have lots of things where they take in all these people and they destroy their villages and they steal all their stuff and, oh boy, they make it very difficult for people to be around. So lots of people have been fleeing from them because there's not a lot of warriors, but some warriors, the Decimators of Dragons, as you heard, they are standing up for what is good and what is right, and they are the ones who are leading the battle to try to stop.
They must be very brave and smart warriors.
Yes, yes. They are the bravest and the smartest. I think I met them once. They were okay.
Well, sir, thank you. Thank you for coming and seeing us and telling us the news. And I give him some, you know, coins and food and stuff. And then I go to try and find my parents.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you head off to where you think you'll find them. Where is that exactly?
Probably. Well, I guess, I mean, everybody was just kind of there, you know, watching the bard. So I think they're probably just like walking back to our domicile. So their names are my parents, Spark and Bean.
You're going to have to help me with mother and father here, or mother and mother, or father and father. I don't.
I like that. Okay, yes, mother and mother, Spark and Bean.
Perfect. You catch up to them as they get back to your home, and they're kind of just entering the door, and they see you coming, and they're like, oh, yes, come in, Glenn. And they open the door for you as they see you running up.
Mom, Mama... because they have to have different names because they're both moms. Did you know that that's happening in the world? That this cult is trying to rise Tiamat?
Oh, you heard that, did you?
I did, and then I talked to the orc bard, and he told me, I mean, things are really terrible.
Things seem to be, we've heard from more than just that bard. That things are not well. In fact, some of our own have gone out to see if they can help. And it appears that dragons and dragon type are trying to do things that would hurt others right now.
Well, don't you think it's our duty to stop them from doing that? Surely we can't just stay here and do nothing if Tiamat might be rising. I mean, that is... for the love of Bahamut, we couldn't possibly just let that happen. We have to go do something.
You see them kind of look between each other, and one of, we'll say, Bean. Is that Mama or Mom?
Yep, that's Mama.
Your Mama, Bean, she... kind of rolls her eyes a little bit at Spark, your mom. And your mom says, Glim, we've been trying to keep you from what is happening. And I feel like you are old enough now that you can know. The world is not a great place for our kind right now. There are many people who look to either recruit us to make us slaves to larger dragons, or to harm us because they don't understand who we are. You have a special place in this. And being your mama, she kind of crosses her arms and walks into the next room. It sounds crazy, but it came to us in a dream that you would rise to be a great protector, a great warrior, someone who people could turn to. But our elders and your mama, she didn't want to tell you this. I want to protect you, but it might be time for you to see the elders and to go off on your own.
I think that I have to. I mean, surely I'm not so worth protecting. We can let Tiamat rise. I mean, that's crazy. I have to help. We should all help, even if it's hard, even if it means leaving here. I think it's the right thing to do.
Your mama, she comes back in and she says, I will take her. She picks a bag up off the floor that she was clearly packing in the next room and hands it to you and says, we have people to see.
Okay, Mama, let's go.
She hands you the bag and you head out and you begin heading off down a path you probably haven't, but you might have gone down, but you travel for quite a ways until you get to a building you haven't been to before. And on the wall is a symbol that you recognize. It's the symbol of Bahamut. Some of the music in today's episode is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. Sound effects can be found at sirenscape.com. Okay, who wants to start? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe.
I told Abby not to make decisions like that. I don't know where she gets it.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Where do we find Sullivan's Light when we first...
It's Sullivan's Light.
That's what I said.
There's no space in between the two.
Sullivan's Light.
Sullivan's Light.
Sullivan's Light. Sullivan's Light.
You can call him Sully.
Super squeaky wheels.
What do they sound like? Like a sad monkey.
Oh, sad monkey wheels. It's a real problem.
It's all around Faerun.
Can I make a super sad dog?
While you're doing that, let's just think about the family dynamics where one brother has to call the other brother boss.
Boss.
It's just a bad situation.
Maybe you should just let it go.
Maybe.
I mean, it's an option. We just don't rule it out.
Yet. We haven't got there yet.
Fucking Dosny.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Oh, Martha, look, the new season is coming. Get the snacks ready.
Okay, okay.
In a dangerous new world.
While we can see the helicopters coming in, it looks like the teams are arriving for this season of Soul Survivor.
Live action role players will fight.
I'm Sequoia.
Just go.
I'm Myrna.
Grant Chicken in.
We agreed to just call me Sky.
Name's Dale.
I'm Cole.
Hannah.
To Bill.
I need the feathers for my arrows.
Sequoia, maybe you need to grab some things.
To outsmart.
Oh my god.
Wow. Well, look for us.
Not again.
To survive.
No, don't, no.
Facing Fate, Black Knight. Available at facingfate.com and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts beginning June 14th.
I don't know if I want to live anymore. I just want it to end.
Dumb Dragons production.